1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. Isn't this a wonderful verse? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for what we've already learned from this verse, what we'll learn today. I pray, Lord, that you'd help it to do its work in our life. Lord, we learn in Hebrews that the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We come here on Sundays to be blessed, but in a real sense, Lord, we come here each Sunday for spiritual surgery. We need the Word of God to do its work in our lives. So I pray, Lord, that you'd take out of us the things that probably ought to be taken out and put in us, maybe some things that ought to be put in. Help us, Lord, as Christians, maybe as a result of this message, to more resemble your Son in how we behave and what we spend our time doing, and Lord, what we place as a priority in our life. And Lord, thank you for those that have come to be with us today. I pray that they've been made to feel welcome, and Lord, that they'd hear from heaven now. I pray for our primary church, our children's church, our junior churches. They are being conducted right now, and people are standing in front of many of the children in our church with an open Bible and sharing with them the Word of God. May it go out in power, do a great work, Lord. And bless us here now in this room, in this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. For those of you that are visiting, let me catch you up a little bit. We have introduced at the beginning of this month a theme for 2009 here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Our theme is abounding in the work of the Lord. That theme is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 58. I told our folks, unless the Lord changes my mind, on Sunday morning, the first Sunday in January, the second Sunday, the third Sunday, and the fourth Sunday, all four Sunday mornings, we were going to preach out of this same verse. We preached on the first Sunday morning on the subject of being steadfast and unmovable. We learned that that means to settle down and settle in. Choose a seat and refuse to budge. And we're talking about just settling what we believe in our hearts, settling our belief system according to the precepts of God's Word. Last Sunday, we preached on the subject of always abounding. Let me just give you a quick summarization of what that means. Here it is. Ever, daily, always, whenever, however, whoever, at every opportunity. Let superabound in excess, be excelling, be better, exceed, increase, redound, go over and above and beyond in the work of the Lord. Sounds like to me that God wants us to go forward, not stay stagnant. God always wants us to be going and growing and increasing, especially in this matter of in the work of the Lord. Now that introduces for us this morning our subject matter, and I'm going to preach on the subject of the work of the Lord, the work of the Lord. By the way, thank you for being here today. I think God will speak to your heart. Please listen as I talk about the work of the Lord. Three things I want to mention about this little phrase. Number one, the work of the Lord is first and foremost, well, this is deep. The work of the Lord is first and foremost work. Work. Let me say this. The word work is found 69 times in the New Testament, and it's plural. The word works 118 times in the New Testament. While Jesus was here on earth, and he is our supreme example, while Jesus was here on earth, he was busy in the work. John 4:34, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. That would be the work of the Lord. John 5:17, but Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. John 17:4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. The Bible clearly teaches us that Jesus has set a pattern for us that we are to be busy in the work of the Lord. Jesus wasn't afraid of that little four-letter word, work. You know, the Bible also goes on to clearly identify service to the Lord as work. Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Barnabas and Saul was not separated for pleasure or to play or to goof around. They were separated for the work that God had called them to do. He identifies what he wanted them to do by using the word work. 1 Corinthians 16:10. "Now if Timotheus comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do." Paul said, you know what? That young preacher knows how to work. And by the way he learned how to work was watching me, because I know how to work. You know what? Let me say this. If your daddy taught you how to work, he probably taught you the most important thing a daddy's supposed to teach a son. If your mama, girls, taught you how to work, she probably taught you the most important thing that she could teach you as a mama. I'm going to tell you this. Satan is attacking the work ethic in this generation. Ephesians 4 verse 11, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." James 1, 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continuing therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Now I want to first of all say to you that when Jesus was here on earth, he was busy in the work of the Lord. The Bible clearly identifies service to the Lord as work. What was the first, think about this, what was the first and most important prayer request that Jesus gave to his disciples? "And he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest." That's why we have underneath "Abounding in the work of the Lord" on our banner, "Going, weeping, sowing, reaping, rejoicing." You know what? Because the work of the Lord is first and foremost work. Work. I'm going to just spend a couple minutes on this and then we're going to move on. But can I express a little worry? I'm worried. I am worried about a generation that just seems scared to death of work. Of work. I'm going to lift up my voice like a trumpet. I'm going to challenge the next generation to be careful in this area of slothfulness. Embrace the work ethic. Learn to sweat. Learn to toil. Learn to labor. It's not a curse, it's a gift. If Satan can change the culture, can soil the fiber of the American character to the point where no one wants to do anything that requires sacrifice, requires self-denial, requires sweat, blood, and tears. If Satan can destroy our willingness to work, then he will destroy the work of the Lord. Because first and foremost, the work of the Lord is work. "Brother Jerry, can you give me something around here? I need a job to do." "Okay, what do you have in mind?" "Well, something that doesn't cause me any inconvenience. Something that's easy. Something that really doesn't cost me much time. Something that's not very hard." No, I can't. You know why? Because the work of the Lord is work. You know, when Paul talked about prayer, he even spoke of laboring in prayer. And what I'm saying is this, folks. I'm saying that the way that God's work is done is by people who are willing to do the work. Now, I do want to point that out. First of all, the work of the Lord is just that work. But I want to also hasten to say this. And please listen to me, young people. The work of the Lord is work. But the work of the Lord is also exciting work. Exciting work. Brother Jerry, I never even thought that those two words could go together. I know you've been sold a bill of goods. But you know what? There is an excitement that comes with doing the work of the Lord. You know, 1 Corinthians 16:15, "I beseech you, brethren, and you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints." Now, did you get that word? Here is a group of folks, a family, they're identified as the house of Stephanas, and Paul says about them, they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Can I tell you this? I love to be involved in the work of the Lord. It's never boring. It's exciting. It's rewarding, and it is addictive. It's addictive. Now, the world is hooked on drugs, hooked on the flesh and the debauchery of the flesh, hooked on booze, hooked on technology. But nothing the world has to offer will give you a bigger high, more genuine satisfaction than the work of the Lord. I'm glad very early in my life I just got addicted to the work of the Lord. I just got addicted to ministry. I'm glad that as a young man in my latter teenage years when I went off to Bible college, I decided that I was going to roll up my sleeves and just get busy serving the Lord. I'm glad very early in my life I got on a bus route. I want to say something to our teenagers that every single Sunday morning they get up and they come. By the way, I'm not talking about teenagers that ride on the bus, even though some of them also work on the bus. But I'm talking about kids that have another way to get here, wouldn't have to get up early, but they do get up early and they get on a bus route. And you know what? Very early in their life, they're getting addicted to the ministry. The bus ministry's fun. You say, Brother Jerry, is it work? Yes, it's work, but it's exciting work. It's a good work. It's an enjoyable work. I remember when I first got in the bus ministry and I got on a route with a guy and he began to train me. And after just a few months, the bus director came to me and said, listen, I've been watching you. I want to put you on a bus route and I want you to be a bus captain. And he about gave me a heart attack. And I did everything I could to get out of it, I'll be honest with you. I told him, I said, you know what? I really don't think I want to do that. I'm happy where I'm at. I wasn't so much happy as I was just scared to death to be a bus captain. And he said, no, I think you can do it. I think you'll do a good job. And so he took me up to Chicago and he showed me a little section of Chicago, a little 4-block by 4-block area. And he said, this is it. And he said, here, there hasn't been a bus captain on this route for about 6 months and it's kind of dwindled down to nothing. But we're going to give you your own bus on Sunday. And if you visit hard on Saturday and you got a couple lady workers and they'll meet you on the route and you guys visit together and see what you can do. And I went up there and I'll be honest with you, I didn't know where I was. I didn't understand the culture. I'd never been in inner city Chicago in my life. They dropped me off. A guy visited with me for about half hour, looked over and said, God bless you. See ya. Good luck. And I'm wandering around. I'm talking to this. I don't know what I'm doing. Brother Bo, I was so untrained and unqualified to be there. I was asking kids to come to church and they told me they'd come and I'd sign them up, only I'd forget to sign them up. I didn't know what their names were. I didn't know what their address was. I just talked to them and they agreed to come. So I said, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. It didn't occur to me to later on, maybe I should have found out where they live. You know, I honestly didn't have any organization skills. I had little scraps of paper with kids' names written on it and they were stuffed in every one of my pockets. I didn't have a notepad. I didn't have any organization. I remember going home that night and you know what? I'd worked hard all day and I'd talked to a lot of people and some of them said they'd come. But I honestly remember as a 19-year-old boy going to my dorm room, pulling all these pieces of paper, spreading them all over my desk and thinking to myself, oh my goodness sakes, they're going to give me an entire bus. How many names do I have? And I tried to count them up. Well, that kid wasn't sure. And I'm like, they're going to give me a whole bus. And I don't even know if I've got but a handful going. And I mean this. I got on my knees that night and I said, Lord, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I'm qualified to do this. I don't know what I'm doing. Lord, I'm going to make a disaster. Listen, you got to help me. Lord, you got to bail me out of this. You know those two lady workers, they said that I would meet on the route on Saturday. I never met them. I didn't even know where they were. I didn't know who they were. I didn't know where they were. I was just wandering around trying to talk kids into coming to church. I never did meet those two gals till the next morning. When I got to the bus center, these two ladies get on the bus, and you, Jerry Ross, yes, were your bus workers. I said, where were you? And they said, where were you? I said, I don't know where I was. And I'll be honest, I got on that bus, and I told them, I said, we got to pray. And they gave me a bus driver and we drove into Chicago and I'm thinking, you know what, I've got the 72 passenger bus and I'm going to come home, I'm going to come to church with about 7 people and they're going to fire me after one Sunday of being a bus captain. But an amazing thing happened that morning. I got on those streets, the bus driver said, I've never been here. And I said, well, here's the map and just here's the blocks and just go down this street and come back up this one and just go down them and we'll see who we can find. I mean, that's as two ladies, when they got there, they said, drop us off on this street. We visited on this street. We'll gather some kids. And an amazing thing began to happen. We started down that first four-block stretch of Holman Avenue in Chicago. And I don't know, folks, I don't know how to explain it, but all I know is standing up and down on the sides of the street on almost every block were kids waiting for that church bus to come to church. Say, was it because of you? No, I think it was despite me. I have no idea where most of them come from. Anytime I'd see somebody, I'd just open the door and I'd say, are you coming today? And they'd say, well, yeah. And I said, well, who invited you? And they said, you did. And I thought, I don't even remember this kid. You know, I'm looking for my little pieces of paper trying to figure out who this kid is. Well, go get on the bus. And man, I got down one street and I got down another street. And I thought, well, we came down two streets and I looked back and we had about a half a bus full. And I thought, well, at least it's not going to be a total disaster. Now, where are those two ladies? They got lost again. Where are those ladies at? I said, bus driver, where's the two ladies? He said, you're the bus captain. I don't know where they're at. And I'm thinking, oh, no, I'm the bus captain. We got to find them two lady workers. I said, well, just keep driving down the streets. They got to be in somewhere in this square till we find them. And I came around a corner and I looked ahead and they're about two blocks in front of me. There's one of these lady workers in the middle of the road. She's looking both ways, wondering where the bus captain is. And I came around that corner and we got it closer and she got back over to the sidewalk and I looked over and these two ladies had worked hard on Saturday and they had standing around them 25 or 30 kids waiting to get on that bus with them. And man, they began to load on that bus. And folks, I don't know how to explain it to you, but all the way from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, something began to happen. Now, I don't know what you're hooked on, but I'm going to tell you, it's not better than this. I don't know where you go get your pleasures, but it's not better than this. And man, kids were getting on that bus, and I was introducing myself, and the bus driver's excited, and I'm excited, and they're counting it up, and we looked, and we had a full bus. Matter of fact, we were a little over legal full bus, and we started heading out. He said, what do I do next? I said, go to the church, and I think we're done. And we drove a couple blocks, and I told him, I said, pull over. And he said, what's wrong? I said, pull over. I said, pull over. And I don't know why I did this, but he pulled over, and I got off that bus, and I did a couple laps around that bus, and I started hooting and hollering and crying and clapping my hands and praising God and saying, thank you, Lord, for letting me see this. Thank you for letting me be a part of this. Those kids were looking at the window, watching me go around, acting like an idiot. I think half of them wanted to go back home right then. The other half said, I'm coming back next week because if this guy's this crazy, I got to see what he's going to do next, you know. We got to church. Some of those kids came to me after church. Their hair were wet. I received Jesus today. I got baptized today. I went all the way home dropping these kids off, trying to find out where they lived. And I thought to myself, you know what? I think this stuff's addictive. I think this, is it work, Brother Jerry? Yeah. Does it rearrange a weekend schedule? Yeah. Is it worth it? You better believe it is. There's nothing better than being involved in the work of the Lord. Now, the work of the Lord is exciting. Young people, don't miss this. I'm afraid sometimes, and maybe we are guilty of giving you the wrong impression, but it's not a drudgery to serve the Lord. It's not a drudgery to be involved in ministry. There's nothing in the world more exciting than being involved in the work of the Lord. Thank God. Thank God that I got on a bus route. I'm going to tell you this. I can still relive the day when I won my first soul to Jesus Christ. I got such a burden. I said, Lord, I remember praying this prayer. I said, Lord, if you don't let me to do anything else in my life. And this was back in the days when I was trying to learn how to be a soul winner and I didn't have a whole lot of boldness. But I said, Lord, if you don't let me do anything else in my life, if you'd let me just one time take the Bible and lead someone to Christ, man, I'd just die and go to heaven. And so I start going out soul winning. Remember, folks, if you don't go, you're not going to reap. If you don't go, you're not going to reap. Now, people say they want to see somebody saved, but they never go tell anybody how to be saved. Let me tell you something. Your chances aren't real good. So I began to go out. I didn't know a whole lot about what I was doing, but I went. I wasn't real good at it, but I went. And I studied and I prepared and I marked my Bible and I went with people that were pretty good at it. And I tried to learn from them and watch them and mimic them. And I wanted to see somebody saved. Week in and week out, I'd come home and nobody would get saved. Sometimes I'd watch somebody get saved, but I didn't lead them to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I want to lead somebody to Christ. I remember I could take you probably to the same place today. I could probably take you to the very house today where God had somebody prepared. And I went to their house. I walked up, I knocked on the door, somebody hollered from the other side of the house. I went around the outside of the house, and there was a man up on a ladder, just a small step ladder. And he was painting his house on the one side of his house. And so I began to talk with him and chat with him. And he said, "It's funny you should come by. You know what? I've been thinking about this very thing." And he said, "I don't know if I died today, I'd go to heaven." And I got my New Testament out. And I remember standing kind of up on the first step of the part of the ladder you're not really supposed to step on this side. And he's on the other side. And I got my New Testament up. And I'm showing him how to be saved. And I looked up. And the guy had red hair. I could still see him. And he had a red beard. And guess what his name was? That's exactly right. His name was Red. And he said, "My name's Red," and I stood on that ladder and I showed him how to be saved. And I'll be honest with you, if we could go back in time, I'm sure I didn't do a great job, but I was sincere and I shared the gospel with him. And he bowed his head and said, I want to be saved. And I led him in the sinner's prayer and he prayed and he shook my hand and thanked me afterwards. And folks, I don't think I ever stepped down to the ground. I think I just floated off that ladder, floated all the way back. What am I saying? I'm saying the work of the Lord is exciting. It's exciting. I love to serve the Lord. The work of the Lord, yes, it's work. I'm not going to lie to you, kids. It's work. Being a Sunday school teacher's work. Being a soul winner's work. Being a bus worker's work. Going to these nursing homes this afternoon. Hey, the Daffrens and the Kleins. Listen, they could go home if they didn't go to these nursing homes. They could go home and get some probably much needed rest. But you know what? It's what it is. It's work. But you know what? We ought to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That's the command here. You know what? You'll find out it's a pretty exciting life. I was thinking about last fall when Brother Reiser, and well, I tell you what, I just backed off and stayed out of it and helped on a real peripheral basis. And I watched Brother Reiser and our teenagers plan their a public school youth revival, and I watched those kids and Brother Reiser pray together and meet together and go out visiting and go to public schools and pass out flyers and get run off of public school property and visit and wait on the sidewalks afterwards and pray. And some of the kids were fasting. And let me just say this, folks. Did you have a good time? Was that exciting what happened Monday night? Was that exciting when we went over to the National Guard Armory and we watched those kids first night, 100 and I think 70 some teenagers come into that National Guard Armory, and then on Tuesday night, 240 some public school teenagers come into that armory, and the gospel was preached and the invitation, and boy, here they came down the aisle. And I'm sitting back there over on the side, and you know, I helped a little here and helped a little there, but mostly I just watched the kids and Brother Reiser do this. And then the one thing he said was, "Brother Jerry, would you take care of the room where we're going to deal with these people? And would you organize that?" So we had soul winners ready. And man, here they came. And well, we're passing off people to deal with them. Every one of these young people dealt with individually. And I look, I'm in the middle of this gigantic room. And this room was filled with different people on their knees, down with an open Bible, showing somebody how to be saved. I stepped in the hallway. They're all up and down the hallway. Everywhere you can look, somebody's getting saved. And I'm thinking, man, this is fun. Now you go boozing if you want to go boozing, but you're not going to have as good a time as we are. You go ahead and go be with the party crowd. Decide that's the way to find your high. But you know what? You're going to find it after that high. There's a horrible low waiting for you, but there's no horrible low after the high you get when you serve the Lord. Man, it's exciting. I started thinking back, Brother Reiser, I relived that, and I seen that, and I'm so glad for you and the teens. And I began to think back to every time we've done that through the years and the different youth rallies and youth revivals. And I remember all the way back to the very first one that I planned as a new preacher in Brazil, Indiana, in a storefront church. And you know what? The same God that showed up at the National Guard Armory has showed up around this place time and time again and given us blessings and seen miracles. And by the way, there's still some young people. There's young people right now in this auditorium that was saved at the National Guard Armory just a few months ago. Man, it's exciting to serve the Lord. What I'm saying, I mean, I hope you understand. I'll just tell you what I'm trying to sell you on it. Yes, sir. Good. It's better than smoking. Yes, it's better than drugs. It's better than drinking. Yes, it's better than debauchery and immorality and waking up the next day with all the guilt that brings. Yes, right. Man, it's good to serve God. You see, Brother Jerry, is it work? Yes, it's work. We work around here. But you know what? It's also exciting work. It's good work. It's an important work. It's a blessed work. Let me say this. It's worth it. It's worth it. First youth revival we conducted over at Central Baptist Church in Brazil. I don't even know, again, half the time. You know, I laughed the other day. Somebody, I mentioned this to somebody, and I said, you know, I really work hard to try to project for the security, just for the security of our members. I really try hard to project the idea that I know what's going on around here. But a lot of the times, buddy, we're just hanging on for the ride. And you know what? I kind of like it that way. I'm glad we don't have things so planned that we've planned God right out of things. I'm glad the Holy Spirit can still take over a service. I'm glad God can just still take over. I'm glad God can go to my calendar and say, uh-uh, and just change everything and say, you're going to do this. And I think to myself, we are? Yes, you are. I don't know how to do that. Well, he says, I do. If you just follow me, I'll get you through it. All right, Lord, here we go again. Amen. 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 You tell me, I'm talking about the 61 members of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that a couple years ago got on a charter bus and a van and drove all the way from here to Washington, D.C. and stood around the memorials on the mall and greeted veterans and passed out copies of Ron Allen's book. And aren't you glad you have those memories? Aren't you glad that Brother Ron was able to go with us on that trip? You know, we'll have that forever. You tell me we didn't have a good time? Then we're driving back. Of course, really, the only bad thing that happened on that trip was the tragic bus breakdown on the way home. We got right by the exit there where the Cabela's were, the big Cabela's store, and the bus started acting up, terribly acting up. We had to pull over into the parking lot. It took about 2 hours to fix it. And meanwhile, we were inside shopping in Cabela's. Some people still have suspicions about whether there was anything really wrong with that bus. I'm here to tell you, there wasn't. It was all planned. I told the bus driver, hey, just start kicking the gas pedal and make it sound like something's wrong. We'll fool these ladies. Well, you can't fool ladies. You might for a little while. You're not going to fool them very long. Boy, I saw gals look up. See, all the guys were in on it. And gals look up and, I'm sorry, there's something wrong. And, boy, we're making a big to-do. And we pull off there. And then they sing that big Cabela sign. I heard this. Okay, all right. Now, we drove by about 50 Walmarts. And I just told him, keep the pedal to the metal, buddy. Keep this thing moving. Malls, keep the pedal to the metal. Cabela's, hit the brakes. We got to take a stop here, you know. Aren't you glad you have those memories? What I'm saying is this. Let me just help you in your Christian life. Let me help you in your Christian. Brother Jerry, sometimes I just feel peripheral. I attend the church, but I don't really feel sometimes a part. I remember, and I'm just going to share this testimony. She shared it with me. Sister Rita Weddle, when her and Brother J.R. first started coming to church, she went to my mother one day, and she said, Sister Donna, I feel like that even though we're glad to be here, I'm just not really a part of this church. I just kind of feel like I'm peripheral. And my mom gave her great advice. She said, everywhere that you can, you plug in and get involved. Everywhere that you can, you plug in and get involved. And you know what? She was wise enough to take. You know what she was telling her? Get busy in the work of the Lord. Get active in the work of the Lord. If there's something going on and you can show up to it, show up to it. If there's something going on and you can be a part of it, be a part of it. By the way, it wasn't no time at all. And you know what her testimony is? I feel like I'm a part of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know, folks, I want everybody to feel a part here. But the best way to feel a part is to get involved in the work of the Lord. There's a camaraderie. There's an excitement with being involved and seeing God do things. So the work of the Lord is work, but the work of the Lord is exciting work. Let me just give you this also. The work of the Lord is eternal work. Eternal work. Now, I've done a lot of jobs in my life. Are you listening? I've had a number of secular jobs in my life, as many of the men's testimony would be in this room. I'm talking about before I was full-time in the gospel ministry. I was a carpenter's helper. You know what? I was involved in this area. I could take you right now in a car and drive you by homes and say, you know what? I helped build that house. I had a part in building that house. I had a part in building that building. Can I tell you this? One of these days, bulldozer, going to push that building over if the Lord tarries. Or termites will get it. Or you know what? Maybe the Lord will come and it'll either go up in flames during the tribulation period or maybe it'll survive that. But the Bible says one of these days, the elements on this planet's going to melt with a fervent heat. Now listen to me. Don't miss what I'm about to say. That was work But it wasn't the work of the Lord. I'm trying to teach you something. You can be busy your whole life working and never have anything eternal to show for it. I said that was work, but that wasn't the work of the Lord. Hey, Brother Jerry, is everybody supposed to quit their job and go into full-time Christian service? No, but you need to understand that there is some work that's wood, hay, and stubble, and there's some work that's gold, silver, and precious stones. And let me just explain that verse to you, and we'll get into it more next week, and I promise you this is true. But I have listened to people throughout my life try to explain that that is talking about motive in God's work. But the wood, hay, and stubble are materials of this world. And gold, silver, and precious stones are heavenly materials. It says in that story that God is going to judge what sort our work is. And there's a lot of good things that you can accomplish on this earth, good, clean work. But excuse me, it doesn't have any eternal value. I worked the docks at United Parcel Service for 6.5 years working my way through Bible college. These hands has loaded thousands and thousands and thousands of parcels and boxes. And those boxes were shipped and I loaded them and they've been delivered and opened and whatever was in them used and the boxes discarded, and that's been decades now ago. So what? So what? Hey, Brother Jerry, I got to work a job. Yeah, you need to, and the Bible says you ought to. But don't get confused about what's the work of this world and what's the work of the Lord. I want you to work a job, but I also want you to work a bus route. I want you to work a job, but I want you also to get involved in a nursing home. I want you to work a job, but I also want you to go soul winning. I want you to work a job, but I also want you to go reach out in some way, making an eternal impact on somebody's life. Are you listening to me? I'm not preaching against good hard work. I'm not saying it's not your responsibility. I'm not saying that you don't need to provide for your family. What I am saying is a lot of times we spend our life busy, busy, busy. But when we show up to heaven, we're going to get the shock of our lives. Because you know what God's going to say? You know what? You're a good worker. I wish you'd have worked for me some. You had that work ethic down pat. The only problem is you were working for mammon. You weren't working for me. You were working for things. You were working for the benefit of you and yours. What about me? What about my work? What about my work? So I've loaded a lot of boxes and I've built some houses and some garages. I've spent some of my time in secular work, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Matter of fact, there's something real noble about it. But don't get confused about what is eternal and what is temporal. Now, that time I spent in Chicago on weekends. Yeah, I'd work at UPS during the week, but I went up on weekends. Every soul I got to see saved. You know what? That's eternal work. That's the rewards of eternal work. Every young person that we discipled and took the time to disciple that's now serving God, some of them in ministry, some of them as church members, some on the mission field, you realize that I'm going to get some eternal dividends from what they accomplished through their work. Boy, that's the work of the Lord. If you want to understand what is the work of the flesh or what is the work of this world, what's going to burn up and what's not, you think about this. What is eternal and what is temporal? And the house that I live in, that worked so hard to have for me and my family, is going to burn up one of these days. And every vehicle that we've ever driven is going to burn up one of these days. And any bank account I might have is going to burn up one of these days. But you know what? There are some things that remain after the judgment seat, after Jesus has tested them by fire. Temporal versus eternal. Temporal versus eternal. Not good motive versus bad motive. Temporal versus eternal. You and I need to be busy in the work of the Lord. You know why? It's exciting. You know why? It's important. You know why? It's eternal. It's eternal. So the Bible says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be as steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you'd take what we've said today and stir our hearts. Lord, help us to enlist and then help us to abound. Help us to settle and settle in and believe the right things. And then help us to learn to abound. And then as we're learning to abound, help us to learn to always abound. Lord, help us to affect every day of our lives. And then help us, Lord, not to just always abound, but to make sure that we're doing so in the work of the Lord. Help us to be able to lay our hands every week on something that's going to be eternal, something that's going to last after the judgment seat, something that's going to spend eternity with us. Help us to be not so caught up, Lord, just in the things of this world. Accumulation of the material things of this world. Help us, Lord, to put our efforts into things that are eternal. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We've preached on purpose during the Sunday mornings, during the month of January. We've preached on purpose. It's planned. This is of God. We've preached on purpose to Christians. We're trying to stir some things. We're trying to lay the groundwork. We're doing the preparations for abounding during the month of January. But let me say this, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, the best decision that you can possibly make in your life is to be saved. Let me ask you an honest question. If you died today, do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven? That's a good question. That's a thing to consider. Do you know that for sure? And if you don't, we have men waiting at the front here, and they can get people to take the Bible and show you how you can know that for sure. If you've never been saved, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our invitation. There be one without Christ, Lord, I pray that they'd come to Jesus Christ today and be saved. If there's someone here, Lord, as a Christian, maybe they've been busy working but not abounding in the work of the Lord. God, save us from slothfulness. Save us, Lord, from being satisfied. Save us from, Lord, just being average. Help 2009, Lord, in our lives to dwarf 2008 in what we do in the work of the Lord. Bless our invitation. We pray this in Jesus' name.